on 1116 SEN. Hungry for Sport with Kevin Bartlett for Aldi Penfold Burwood, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family. And Flex Vehicle Management Service. Find out more at flexvs.com.
7 past 9, good morning and welcome to the program. Someone is going to throw a punch today at the SCG. Hostilities resume between Australia and India, and there is plenty of heartburn. The Indians are talking tough. They're going to get into the face of Dave Warner and Shane Watson. Rohit Sharma is still seething at Warner, demanding he speak English in the first ODI of the summer, and he's tuning up his vocal cords. Virat Kohli, Darwin are not backwards at having a crack. Watson has already flagged he won't respond in fear of getting fined and suspended. As for Warner, who knows? Doesn't matter who wins the fight or the war of words, Australia will win the match. I'm KB. That's my take.
There are a little bit of banters going around, so be it. There will be times where you see, where you will see our bowlers, fielders getting right on their faces.
I think already you've seen the guys handle it really well throughout the tournament. The way the boys played in the quarterfinal against Pakistan was extremely pleasing.
None of the team backed down. Both the teams were right on their on each other's faces. It's part of the game, I guess. But I just hope it doesn't cross the line.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be a very heated game. I'm sure of that. Australia wouldn't want to lose to us in the semi-finals, especially playing at home. There will be a lot of pressure on them, and if we can exploit that, it'll be great for us.
Dave, you'll be fine. He knows the rules, as we all do, and his rules are no different to the rest of us.
Well, there's the Indians applying the pressure, of course, to Australia at the SCG today. Give us your thoughts, 9429 1116. You think a punch will be thrown? And, of course, which sport actually sledges the most, because it does seem that cricket is a game that is caught up with sledging. 9429 1116 0433 98 1116 if you want to send through an SMS, if you want to tweet at Kevin Bartlett 29 or at Hungry for Sport. Coming up is Greg Venom Denham, taking your calls on all things sport so you can set the sporting agenda. What's on your mind? We'll touch base with Andy Harper. Of course, Australia has just drawn with Germany 2-2, so a great effort there by the Socceroos. Get something off your chest always in the second hour. Bunch of great prizes to give away as well. Rodney Hogg will join us talking some cricket. We'll catch up with the Buzz, Johnny Ralph. Sean Graff is on his way back from Tassie after winning the Sheffield Shield. We'll speak with Victorian cricket manager as well. But coming up, Greg Venom Denham. Good morning, Greg.
I've got to hear the rest of that. Good morning, Kev. How are you?
Look, we're listening to your intro.
Well, it's a good song.
It's a good song.
It's a great song, in fact. Look, surely not. No one could be so stupid, or could they, today? I mean, the way New Zealand celebrated on Tuesday after they played
South Africa,
they played their grand final, Kev. It's all over. Whoever wins today will win the final. I mean,
wins the World Cup.
It was absolutely like, you know, that they'd won it. Watching them carry on and prance on, and some of the comments that have come out since on Tuesday. So forget about them. We just have to worry about our behaviour today. And look, is it really... I'd find it really hard, but, you know, and even Watson said yesterday that there's a line and they can't cross it, surely.
Well, they always say that, Greg, but when they get out there into the field of battle, we've seen in the past with Warner and Shane Watson, and now, of course, so we know with Kohli and Darwin all having a crack.
I mean, is this just
Sharma as well?
Is this a sidebar? I mean, to the real thing, the tactics of the game?
There seems to be quite a lot of heartburn between these and angst between these two sides,
well,
Greg.
Yeah, but, I mean, honestly, I think the...
This will be explosive, this game today. There's going to be 70% of the SCG... We're told we'll be Indian fans.
Oh, well, that doesn't surprise me. They've been fantastic here. They've come out in droves.
Why are they going to have more support than Australia?
Because they are just cricket fanatics. Absolutely unbelievable. And look, I'm not just, I'm not a real cricket buff at all, but I think the tactics are the ones that are going to dictate who wins, not the sledging. Stark, 18 wickets so far in the tournament. Mitch Johnson, I think he'll rise to the occasion today. We're going in with no spin. They are... I mean, they'll be the winners today, not sledging, surely.
As I've said right throughout this tournament, Greg, our batting lineup is extraordinary. We can lose 5 wickets for no runs and we'll still make 500 runs.
Well, you have said that. You really put the Moz on against the Kiwis that day, so we've lost...
That was over there, Greg.
We've lost the one game.
Grounds over in New Zealand. This is at the SCG, and of course we've got the final at the MCG. Who wins today's game? Who wins the banner? Maybe who wins the fight? Maybe you might see someone like Dennis Lilly grab his bat and whack somebody over the head.
Look, I just the penalties for crossing the line today are that you don't make an appearance on. For five players, you don't make an appearance on Sunday. So they could not be so stupid.
Is cricket the greatest game for sledging? Is there a game where sledging takes more space and more time than cricket?
Fair bit of sledging in footy, Kev. There's a fair bit of sledging in footy. I know playing baseball in the old days, I was a catcher and I used to give my bit, but the umpire's right behind you, so it's a little bit hard to go overboard. But... Oh, look, it's interesting. I think there's a hell of a lot of sledging in footy. It's a bit different now with the umps being mic'd up. And that's the other silly thing about cricket, because you don't get away with it anymore. I mean, with umps mic'd up and stump cams, et cetera, et cetera, you don't get away with much. So I really, I think people sort of putting their chest out and sort of doing the right thing for their country, sledging, I'm not so sure if that works anymore.
Others are saying because cricket has got zero physical contact in the game and words are the only form of assaulting an opponent.
Well, I mean, unless you're a bowler, that is right, I guess. I guess that's totally right. But I think that... it'd be interesting to sort of talk. I'd say that AFL footballers sledges just as much cricketers.
Have you got an apology today to the Western Bulldogs?
No, why?
The way that they played in that dress rehearsal game against Collingwood and the way that they played and gave their supporters enormous hope and faith leading into the season after what's been a torrid and horrendous pre-season with the coach going and the captain and the CEO and losing their best player in Tom Liberatore. Did you watch that game, Greg? Did you see the Bulldogs?
Absolutely.
Any chance of an apology to the Bulldogs?
I haven't said the Bulldogs are going to be absolutely useless this year or anything like that. Kevin, it's a practice match in March.
It's a dress rehearsal, Greg.
It was a practice match.
What did you make of the Bulldogs then, Greg? Give us your critique on what they showed against Collingwood.
Look, I thought...
Because you're anti-Bulldogs, let's face it.
No, I'm anti-incompetence and I'm anti-certain people that want to dictate around footy clubs and think that they know best when they should be employing other people or employing the wrong people in places. Look, what I thought last week, what did I think? Three-quarter time, was only five goals in it. I thought that was a really wrong...
Only five goals.
31 points. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a wrong margin. The Bulldogs should have probably been 10 goals in front.
Good.
And they won by 10. Good. So I thought that was fair enough. I thought they were magnificently... aggressive in not just their tackling but their off-ball stuff as well. I thought they were quick. They tried to play on at all costs. I do know that McRae is a star and Bontempelli's not far behind him. I like the improvement in Redpath. He's a big boy. Lin John was pretty good. I think Roughhead's matured now. I thought he played very, very well deep in defence. Before he got KO, Johannesson was very, very quick, so he's got his pace back. He would have been gone in injury free. And Hambling's probably a guy that's going to get a game from Geelong after not getting a look in down there. Look, I thought they were really, really good, and with Cremery to come back, you'd think they'd get better. But I've got to say, the hype that since that game, particularly not from the club, but from the media, the Fox Footy boys, etc., is unbelievable. It's a practice match. And Collingwood were shocking. That's Collingwood, you just don't know how much the Bulldogs have improved, because I'm not so sure how bad Collingwood were. They were terrible.
I want to play a bit of audio for you, Greg. Something that took place yesterday. I'll pay it forward and I'll pick out three others myself and get memberships for them. Patrick Smith, of course, from The Australian.
That's good.
Walkley Award-winning columnist.
Yes.
Sean Graff, yes. Victorian cricket manager, who's a Bulldog supporter.
Yep.
So
yep, I've heard
I'm going to put forward Sean Graff's name, pay it forward. And Greg Venom Denham, who's anti the Bulldogs. But I feel if I get Greg a membership, then maybe he'll look at the Bulldogs through... far nicer eyes than what he's looking at the Bulldogs at the moment. Now that was
so you're buying me a membership.
Yes, that was Alan Johnston yesterday.
Haven't I got enough now? We're Carlton members.
Yesterday, that's called Pay It Forward. It's a new membership campaign where you nominate people and you buy a membership for them. By the way, Alan Johnston has bought 1,000 memberships for underprivileged people.
That's fantastic.
So they can go and watch Bulldogs fans. 1,000 memberships he has bought. So talk about pay it forward. So I've actually bought you a membership, Greg, and that will be arriving
Bill.
On your desk very, very shortly here at 1116 SEN. Hopefully it'll give you an opportunity to be a little bit more balanced when it comes to the Bulldogs, because you're unbalanced at
the moment. You're trying to bribe me here.
You're unbalanced.
No, it's not going to work.
I
will accept your gesture, but it's not certainly not going to work. And I've got to say, the Bulldogs do need every little bit of support they had on the membership front. As of this morning, they were just under 25,000. Not really good enough. Last year they had 31,500, but the depth between Western Bulldogs and North Melbourne is growing. The gap is growing. I mean, North have improved their membership so much more in the last couple of years. I think the Bullies' record membership, I think 2011, was just over 32,000. So let's hope this year they can at least achieve that. But they're behind the eight ball and they need every bit of support they get.
Also, if you watched Australia this morning against Germany in that friendly game, but it was 2-2 at the end of the game. Germany scored first and Australia hit back with a couple of goals, and then Germany scored fairly late in the game, but 2-2 against the Socceroos and Germany. So that's a great effort. I know you're a great fan of Ange Postecoglou's.
Sensational effort.
If you watch that, you may like to give us your thoughts on Australia's effort as Asian champions against Germany this morning, who won the World Cup.
On 1116 SEN, Hungry for Sport, with Kevin Bartlett for Audi Penfold Burwood, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family. And Flex Vehicle Management Service. Find out more at flexvs.com.
Here's Burns, great ball in, there's the equaliser! James Troisi picking up where he left off in the Asian Cup final. And Australia are all square again. And it's going to be Yedinak to Curlett and Yedinak to score! And Australia lead the world champions by 2-1. And well might their coach smile. Their skipper delivers from the set piece.
Andy Harper will join us in the next hour as well. Of course, he was commentating, broadcasting that game today for Fox Sports. Let's go to our callers. 942-916. You can always set the sporting agenda. What's on your mind in sport? Alan has joined us from Greenvale. G'day, Al.
G'day, gentlemen, and venomous one.
G'day, Al, pal.
Gibby, you got no chance of getting Greg Denham to give an apology. It's as much chance as we've got of you giving an apology for anything you've got wrong.
I've apologised plenty of times on this show.
I'm trying
about various players.
Have you?
The useless log that used to play for Richmond that went to Sydney and actually got a few kicks. I apologised to him. Good West Australian boy.
Who?
Ruckman that went to Sydney, played a few games last year. Tom Derricks played pretty well. I've apologised to him. I sort of half put in an apology for Jesse White last year too. I think I might have to retract that.
Hmm.
He's gone back into his shell a little bit.
Other comments, Al?
Anyway, that's not what I called for.
No.
I called to talk about the game today.
Yep.
And if the Indians try and take on the Australians in sledging, they've lost it straight away, because Australians are the king of sledging, and they'll lose that battle. So it's better that they concentrate on what they do best. And secondly, KB, I must give you a big, real big thank you for pumping up the Australians, because we know what happens when you pump up the Australians. Go India.
Go India, says Alan. Does anyone give India a chance apart from Alan? I know there's
70%.
Some of the SMSs are saying here.
I do.
That all the Indian students are ringing in sick today, so they're all going up in Sydney. He's at some university, and they're all ringing in sick. They're all going to the cricket. Slumdog joins us from Point Cook. G'day, Slumdog.
आज इंडिया के चुने हुए गेंदबाज और बल्लेबाज ऑस्ट्रेलिया के धज्जियां उड़ा देंगे. KB, do you know what you just did with your take there? You pressed red, mate. You pressed red.
Pressed red?
Yeah, that's what the Hindi commentary would sound like, wouldn't it?
Now, Slumdog, of course, Alan's very, very confident that the Indians will win this game against Australia. They shouldn't be sledging with Australia, because we're the best sledgers in the world. What's your thoughts on today's game?
KB, the Indian team has been here for so long. Apparently, they're going to go home after the SCG in their own taxis. So we'll see how that goes. I think we've been here for long enough to, I guess,
make sure that we know the pitches. So I think it'll be a good contest. Really hoping that we have at least 270 on the board if we win, if we bat first. And if we don't, we're going to get run over. Australia's just too good. The bowling's fantastic. And I think Clark might just retire after this World Cup if he wins it. And well, good luck to him if he does.
What, as a one-day international player?
No, I think he's done for, KB. His back's not going to hold up anymore. So unfortunately, I really loved him as the Australian captain as well, but it's about time, I think.
Look, I don't think he'll retire if we win the World Cup. I think he's pretty keen to lead Australia on that Ashes tour. And, of course, we've got the tour of West Indies as well. Just finally, Slumdog, do you think there'll be any fireworks there today between the players? Do you think a punch will be thrown? Someone will be hit over the head with a bat?
No. Unfortunately, it's not Richmond Carlton in round one, right? So I think it's all going to be quite civil, and there might be a few words exchanged, but nothing like what Harbhajan brought to the table. And I hope it's not that way.
Okay.
So we don't want a repeat of that. It won't happen. I'm sorry to disappoint you there.
Okay, Slumdog, appreciate that. Press Red, he was talking to us.
KBTV.
KBTV.
Press Red for Red. And
I want to play a bit of audio for you. This is you told us a little while back that Jack Stephen was about to sign a contract with St Kilda. Now, St Kilda needs some good news. It was announced on Morning Glory that he has re-signed at the Saints for 5 years.
Well, it's just it was an easy fit, really. I'm very happy at the Saints, and they were happy to have me. So, yeah, that's how it pretty much worked out.
So you flagged this for us, Greg, what, a week or so ago?
Yeah, and wrote it in The Australian on Monday. Look, it is some good news for St Kilda because, you know, they couldn't... I really think after Goddard and Nick Del Santo left as free agents that they couldn't afford to lose another one, a best and fairest winner. Look, he's worth... I think
5 year deal?
5 year deal. I think they've probably paid overs, but, I mean, they've got plenty of room in the cap. I'd say the deal... Well, I'm pretty sure the deal's around about $3.6 million over the 5 years. But it's good. They're obviously going through a bit of a positive spin now on certain things after their big defeat undermanned last week in the NAB Challenge. They've got other things to celebrate. I think not just Jack Stephens, the fact that Jack Stephens has re-signed. But that's certainly good news if you follow the Saints and... I'm glad he's staying for their sake.
And not good news for Carlton. Got that opening game against the Tigers. So Andrew Walker is not playing, Greg. Gone. Bryce Gibbs maybe not playing.
Gibbs will play. Warnock certainly a chance not to play. I think he'd hurt his shoulder against Collingwood. Walker obviously had those knee injuries, Kev. 50-50 whether he does line up. I think that Andrew McKay told me yesterday that he was more unlikely than likely, so be really interesting to see the lineups going into round one next year because there's so many changes already at so many clubs, and I think the likes at Carlton, you know, you're probably going to see Christian Jack, Liam Jones. Now, would you ever thought in your wildest dreams, particularly after watching games last year, that Liam Jones would probably get a gig over Levi Casbolt? I'd like to hear from Carlton fans on that.
So you think it's coming down to either Jones gets a game or Casbolt gets a game in the opening game against the Tigers?
I think it is. I think it is. And particularly, even if Warnock does or doesn't play, I still think that that's a possible scenario. Casbolt doesn't necessarily have to be the backup ruckman for Cameron Wood, who's been elevated off the rookie list, and will have to lead him with Cruiser still out. So there's a few weaknesses, a few chinks in the armour of Carlton and, of course, Richmond cock-a-hoop.
I think Carlton supporters would be very surprised, Greg, if Liam Jones got the nod over Levi Casbolt. 9-4-2-9-11-16. So you've been speaking
Casbolt,
to...
Casbolt didn't play last week, you know. He wasn't injured. He didn't play. But I hope he was just being
they
rested.
They rest players, don't they, at different stages?
I just said I hope he was being
so
rested.
So did Andrew McKay tell you that it's between Casbolt and Liam Jones?
I'm just reading between the lines, Kev.
Okay, well, Carlton fans, who would you like to see against the Tigers in round one? Would it be Casbolt or Liam Jones? Greg, of course, is always brought to you by the Spread Eagle Hotel, 372 Bridge Road in Richmond. That's his home address. I'll give you his phone number too, 94286895. That's real Richmond hospitality down at the Spread Eagle Hotel. Got the finest meals and, of course, lunch and dinner. Got the great cook down there and Freddie Keane down there as well. Don't forget, the Spready is just 10 minutes walk from all the action at the MCG, so make it your destination before and after the cricket, of course, on Sunday. Take a break. When we come back, we'll take more of your calls, 9429 1116.
Higgins will receive the football, point of the square half forward. Now he plays on, runs the full measure, kicks it along inside 50. Jones!
Good, good.
Strong work from Jones right at the top of the square. Here he goes on its way. That's a beautiful kick. Well done, Liam Jones. Four goals for the afternoon.
Kick off the right boot. Waite was the target, and Waite will mark. Oh, no, he didn't. He fumbled at the last moment. Robinson will give it to Casbolt. Now you can rock the Casbolt, Rowan, as he strolls in for his fourth, the big fella.
So who gets the nod for Carlton in that game against Tigers? Is it Liam Jones or Levi Casbolt?
We actually found a couple of highlights for Jones.
Kicked four goals in that game. Jeff is in Caroline Springs. G'day, Jeff.
How's it going, fellas? Yeah, look, I wouldn't be surprised if Liam Jones got the nod, to be honest. I think there'd probably be room for both. I think Jones could probably play either end. But Levi Casbolt, he's always been a bit suspect on his kicking, where Liam Jones, I think, gets the nod over the kicking.
Got to get the ball first, though, Jeffrey.
Oh, he's a good pack mark, though.
Who?
Liam Jones. He's not bad in the pack.
Well, I would say he's he jumps high in a pack and nearly takes some speckies, but he just doesn't quite hang on to the ball just at the moment.
I'd say you're 100% right.
I reckon he drops a lot of marks, but he can jump, no doubt about that, and so can Levi. A good point you make, though, Jeff. Maybe his kicking skills might get him the nod over and Levi Casbolt.
Look, it's just seen, too, especially with Jack coming to the club, that you would think Henderson's going to play forward. So I'm not sure if there's room for both of them in the same side. But anyway,
if you've got Henderson forward, Jones forward, Casbolt forward, a bit top heavy?
Maybe.
Okay, Peter's from Patterson Lakes. G'day, Pete.
Yeah, hi, guys. How you going?
Who gets the nod, Liam Jones or Levi Casbolt?
Well, I think both. I think it's obvious they're going to play both. And the reason being is that Liam Jones is not good enough to take one of your two best backmen. He's probably good enough to take your third best backman. Levi Casbolt, if you bomb the ball down forward, as is Carlton's pattern sometimes, he's not going to get beaten for a mark. He's going to take a mark, or he's not going to get beaten. So I think they'll play the three of them, just like the Tigers will play their three talls.
That'd be interesting if the Tigers play their three talls as well. That would be interesting if they play their three talls and Carlton plays their three talls as well. I suppose both clubs have got to make that decision with Ben Griffiths and also Tyrone Vickery at Richmond. Ask Richmond fans if they're only going with the two talls, and one being, of course, Jack Revolt. Who would you play, Ben Griffiths, or would you play Tyrone Vickery? 9429 1116. Dennis has joined us in Donvale. G'day, Dennis.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Good, Dennis.
Just wanted to make a quick comment on the significance of the Socceroos' performance this morning in Germany.
Yep.
With next to no preparation and an experimental lineup, we went to the home of the world champions and absolutely spanked them off the park. Should have had five goals. It was unbelievable. Well, and in the whole, excitement about the cricket today, I just wanted to mention that is a very significant step forward for Australian football.
Oh, absolutely no doubt. When did they equalise, Kev, with about 8 minutes to go?
Oh, no, around about the 70-minute mark, when they actually got the second goal for an equaliser after they scored the first goal. It's an interesting point that you make there, Dennis, because Nathan Burns and Matthew Leckie also could have scored before Germany scored their first goal. So maybe Australia did have the opportunity of scoring four or five goals against the reigning world champions, Greg, and that's to be celebrated.
Oh, look, I just say one word, Kev, and you know what it is, Ange.
Some of the SMSs are saying that they're disappointed it wasn't on free-to-air this morning, that they don't have Foxtel, and as a result, they couldn't watch the game, but they would have loved it to be on free-to-air because it is the World Cup winners against the Asian Cup winners, and Australia put up a mighty performance today. Matt's out on the road. G'day, Matt.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Good,
Matt.
Dennis is actually right. That was a cracking performance this morning. They actually they played a system. They played it well, really well disciplined, and got it done. But I'm actually wrapped as a St Kilda supporter that we actually managed to hold on to a young potential free agent. We're actually really building. It's about 2018 before we'll be any good, but it's building.
Yeah,
A fair comment, I reckon, Matt. I would think that they're four seasons away, St Kilda, from building to the point where they may be confident enough to make the top eight and take on some of the better sides.
Yeah, and I think talking to Amit Baines last week about Jack Stephen was the fact that and I mentioned they probably paid overs for him, but then you don't, you very rarely get a free agent who's 24, 25, whatever he is. I think it's his birthday this Saturday. But because he started so young, you know, he was very attractive to rival clubs. So so I can understand why they've had to pay overs for him. But it's good because I think St Kilda's pretty much stitched up their the rest of their free agents. I mean, you got Sam Fisher, Dempster, Schneider, and I think one other that comes out of free agency at the end of the year. And they'll be one-year deals if they stay at all. So, no, good on them.
Trent Cotchin said yesterday that Richmond could have a couple of new faces playing in that opening game in Kane Lambert and Caden McIntosh. And I know that Mark Murphy was talking about Boakhurst, Smith, young boy they drafted.
Clem Smith from WA.
Yes, Liam
Two
Jones.
Liam Jones.
Liam Jones. He put up Liam Jones. Could be playing.
Yeah, well, he probably
should
will.
Be playing. And Kieran Jacks playing. So four new faces for Carlton, maybe a couple of new faces for the Tigers. Graham's in Heidelberg. G'day, Graham.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, you? Graham.
Good. Did I hear correctly that St Kilda has signed a player for 5 years?
5 years. And, Greg, how much money do you think over the 5 years?
Oh, it's just upwards of $700,000 a year. Yep.
$700,000 a year for 5 years for an on-baller.
Yeah, but he's young. He's young, Graham.
I reckon they'll get 3.5 years out of him with injuries and all sorts of things. And that last 6 months, I reckon he'll get 3.5 years out of him. I just cannot believe a club would invest 5-year contract. 3 years, yes. 5 years, I think that's crazy.
Tell you what is crazy, Greg.
Well,
a few years ago, clubs were jumping up and down saying no one gets a 3-year deal, no one gets a 4 or 5-year deal. Now, all of a sudden, clubs now, due to free agency, all of a sudden now, everyone's getting a 5-year deal.
Well, it is interesting. 5 years, 9 years, 7 years.
big contracts.
Crawley wanted 6 years or whatever it was. Now, Graham's got a point in the fact that I can go back to the early 90s and when Hurd and McCurry were signed up for 5 years. And that absolutely broke the fabric of the Essendon Footy Club because they had to lose players when the TPP came in lighter than what they thought it was. The increase was going to be. They had to lose their Heffernans and Blumfields, etc.
Was Carousella one? Was he one
Carousella,
went to?
Correct. So it was sort of like a no-no in footy, particularly don't take a player over the collective bargaining agreement, like into the next one without knowing exactly what it's going to be with a long-term contract. So we didn't have any long-term contracts for quite a while. But I think that the Buddy Franklin's obviously blown that out of the water. And in this case, as I said, the boy is only 25. I think that 5 years is okay in this situation. I think it gets ludicrous when you get blokes that are in 28, 29 getting long-term deals.
Okay, if you're a St Kilda fan, I would think most St Kilda fans would be thrilled that Jack Stephen has decided to stay at St Kilda and has committed himself for the next 5 years. Give us your thoughts. Graham thinks it's a risky proposition that St Kilda have done in signing Jack Stephen for 5 years. Don't forget, you can always continue any conversation you like with Greg Venom Denham down at the Spread Eagle Hotel. His home address, 372 Bridge Road in Richmond. This is his phone number, 2-9428-6895. They've got a great cook down there in Freddie Keane, and he'll rustle up a fantastic lunch and dinner. And always remember, it's just a 10-minute walk from the MCG, so you can make it your destination before and after the cricket, come the World Cup final on Sunday.
On 1116 SEN, Hungry for Sport with Kevin Bartlett for Penfold Holden, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family. And Flex Vehicle Management Service. Find out more at flexvs.com.
It's not that hard, is it? Is it that hard? Really? Here's an idea. Shut the bloody thing. Jesus. I don't know, I just reckon ask the players. It's right in their eyes.
Said it before, I'll say it again. I think the roof should be closed. I think it's better for everyone. But I've stated that before, so that's nothing new.
Thought I looked silly in the first half. The vision we had in the box was very, very hard to watch, so I imagine that it was the same for the viewers at home. I must mix in different circles to the fans that they surveyed, because I can't find one person that says it's a good idea to have it open.
Well, there was Damien Hardwick, Brad Scott and Chris Scott discussing the partial closing of the roof at Etihad, Greg.
Well, very interesting. The AFL did a survey earlier in the year, and which North released a little news story on their website yesterday, and it was really interesting. They called it a mystery pre-season survey,
The
AFL said that 60% of supporters preferred the roof open. So North polled 1,500 people, which is a good a good cross-section, and they found that 90% want it closed. Only 10% want it open. So North have actually challenged the AFL after Todd Goldstein was blinded by the light last weekend to actually maybe do another survey and change their mind, because we know that Mark Evans said earlier in the week that it was their policy, particularly early in the season, to keep the roof open when it was sunny.
Well, I know Mark said the Carlton-Geelong game was okay, but the Richmond North game wasn't a great success. Well, I was broadcasting the Richmond North game, and it was a bit difficult. That slither of light going down the middle of the ground and going out towards the boundary line was ridiculous. But I stayed home and watched the Carlton-Geelong game on TV, and three quarters of my screen was in shadow, blacked out, and there were seven players down the bottom of my screen, Greg, that I didn't know were there. I just saw some movement. I thought, what's that? And I got closer to my TV set, and I could actually see shadowy figures running down the bottom of the screen. So, you know, the Scott boys and Damien are absolutely spot on. And every straw poll we've done here, 11:16 SEN on this program, has shown that people want the roof shut. So 90% doesn't surprise me that you want the roof shut at Etihad Stadium. Mm. Dominic is from Reservoir. G'day, Dom.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yep, I'm a North supporter, and I definitely want it shut. I participated in that survey, and I emphatically was one of the 90%. But just a side issue, KB, I always wanted to ask you, were you in the NAB Rising Star panel in 2008?
I would have been, yes. What year was that, and who won it? I know what year, 2008, but who won?
Well, every time I see Reece Palmer kick a ball, like I was watching GWS in Sydney on the weekend, and he missed a sitter from 30 metres out. Every time I see him kick a ball with his left foot, normally left footers are so elegant, but he's not one of them. I'm just staggered that he managed to pip Sua Rioli that year for the NAB Rising Star. And I've also been staggered by how Rioli got through to pick 12 or 13, I think it was. Another anomaly that I've observed over the years is that Melbourne and Carlton game at the end of the year famously played off for the Cruiser Cup. But why was it so cut and dry that it was a Cruiser Cup when Trent Koch and his Northern Knights teammates was a standout that year as well?
Well, he was tipped to be the number one draft pick all the way through, and it seemed that whoever was going to have the first pick in the draft, that they were going to take Matthew Cruiser, hence the catch phrase and cry Cruiser Cup.
Well, they wanted a big man, the Blues.
Mm. Reece Palmer actually played an outstanding year in his first year. Yep. Now, he's not as good as Sua Rioli, but that's in hindsight. But the NAB Rising Star, I don't even know what the voting was, what the points were for that year in 2008, but Reece Palmer certainly won. But Reece Palmer that year actually played a cracking year in his first year of AFL football. And everyone said at the time that his kicking was a bit poor and he had to improve on his kicking. But his ball-winning ability that year, he virtually nearly carried Frio's midfield as a young kid on his shoulders. So he did have a terrific first season, and that's what it is. You've got to actually pick him on that season. I don't even know how many games Sua Rioli played in his first year, what impact he had. We know his impact now. But Reece Palmer, in fact, I think Reece Palmer now is a better kick. I think he's improved his kicking since he's been at the Giants.
Well, he has, and he got that, I think, second-year injury, very bad injury too. And look, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but you can only vote on that particular year, and there was no doubt Palmer was right up there.
Well, the voting, little Joey, the chosen one, has just put up on the screen. He's just looked up 2008. Reece Palmer had 44 votes, played 20 games that year, and had 462 disposals in his first year of AFL football. Sua Rioli, I don't know whether he finished second. Maybe he finished second. He did with 37 votes. And Trent Cotchin, that you mentioned, finished third with 21 votes. So I think Rioli and Trent have gone past Reece Palmer. Cyril played 25 games that year too, and also played in a premiership, although that wouldn't have counted in terms of the NAB Rising Star. It would end at the end of the home and away series. And Trent Cotchin, not quite certain how many games Trent played in his first year with the Tigers, but Reece Palmer with 44 votes won that year from Cyril Rioli, and Cotchin finished third on 21. David joins us in Ballarat. G'day, Dave. G'day, Dave. You want to talk about the Sheffield Shield?
Yeah, I am. Now, look, I got the fourth day score, and I think West Australia were 280 in front, and I only got the result last night. I can't believe West Australia batted on. How silly are they? Surely Victoria, all they needed to do was draw it, so they're not going to be exactly busting their gut to chase a win. So why extend the margin out to 334 to get, and then reduce your chances of bowling him out.
And the winning coach is the one that's not there after that as well. So, look, yeah, you got to wonder, because they had nothing to lose. But isn't it amazing with the Sheffield Shield finals?
But you've got to win. They had to win.
I know. The home side only has to draw, and they sometimes make for very, very boring finals.
No, but the point that you make, Dave, is a good one, and Sean Graff will join us a little bit later on. I mean, Justin Lang has said that it was going to be very hard to get the 20 wickets and all that sort of stuff. But it's win or bust, isn't it?
Yeah.
So 333 was their lead. Victoria finished 4 for 158, and I think at one stage there they batted 8 overs without making a run.
Mm.
I think Dave Hussey made 34 and. One stage there and faced over, 130 balls or something. So, I mean, he was just stonewalling. But the point that is being made is that, you make it a total that is gettable, and therefore maybe you give yourself a chance of winning. I think that's a good call. We'll take a break. And for all those Richmond fans on the message bank asking why Cochin didn't win in 2008, Trent Cochin, with those 21 votes, he didn't make his debut until round 8. He was put on the long-term injury list prior to the season starting. Had something wrong, I think, with a foot or something like that, and played 15 games for the Tigers.
That doesn't stop you winning either.
No, it doesn't. But if the others have had cracking seasons as well, in Surioli and Reece Palmer at that stage, obviously they got the votes in front of Trent Cochin. Some of the SMS are saying, I'm calling it now, boys. Dave Warner, 150 today. Will Gary Ablett play for Gold Coast in round 1?
Nothing more sure, Kev. See you tomorrow.
Okay. Is that so? You're very confident about that, Greg?
Very confident.
Okay, who plays, Casbolt or Liam Jones?
Maybe Liam Jones.
Liam Jones.